Welcome to Career Tools. Today, we're going to talk about how to handle gossip in the workplace. Here we go. Hey, dude, you know what's really a lot of fun? You know what I miss about the business world?
That's what?
Just incredibly exciting, titillating, actually. It's gossip. It's great.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, you're Mr. Gossip. I can just see you now at the office, people running to your cubicle, to your office, saying, Mike, you won't believe it.
Yeah, those words are enough to send somebody scurrying out of my office because you know it's coming, right?
Yeah, you're not going to believe what happened. You hear this story about this guy? Or
I'm getting that taste in my mouth right now that makes me want to gag a little bit.
The bile is building up.
And bile's a good word because gossip, it's toxic. I mean, it really is. But all joking aside, gossip, I have no room for it, and it just kills organizations.
And I'll tell you what, I think a lot of young people today are looking at senior people and they equate some of the gossiping they do with the politics they see at the top of the organization. And I think they don't realize that in reverse, the senior people see politics as just relationships within a power structure in an organization, and they see gossip as absolutely juvenile. And now there are some senior people that do gossip, but generally speaking, I think there is a transition that people go through between gossiping as a junior person, then becoming a manager and realizing they don't want to deal with gossip all the time, and then gradually losing interest in it and becoming swallowed up by the business needs of the organization. And they look down and they go, gosh, I wish these young people would know what I know now, which is, gossip is, as you say, toxic.
Right. Well, there's two, I think, learnings that senior executives have around gossip. One is, by now they've figured out that relationships are terribly important. And so anything that destroys relationships is not considered to be a good thing. And number two, the higher you get, the smaller your circle of peers becomes. And when you become the CEO, you're a small group.
Your circle of friends is zero.
Right. And so since it's smaller, any gossip affects just a smaller group. It doesn't work, right? I mean, gossip it takes refuge in the law of large numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't work at the senior level. So,
yeah, we're fond of telling folks, I'm sure many people have heard it on the show, is that the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county, right? So if you put 500 people or even 200 people in the same building, you have conflict. And that tension that comes from the conflict manifests itself in human behavior around gossip. It just, the conduct of gossip is a manifestation of the tension and conflict that exists when you put too many people together in one place. We're not saying that gossip ought to stop, because I think that's you and I were talking about before the show, that's a moral judgment which we could probably make, but then we're in the tautology and all that kind of stuff. Gossip is basically steroidal social schadenfreude. You are taking joy and essentially being seen as smart by communicating it, joy in other people's pain. It comes at the expense of other people. And based on our approach to the humanity that ought to exist in every organization, if it comes at the expense of other people, it's unacceptable. In fact, if you think about it, if you're a manager, this is Career Tools, but if you're a manager, and managers have careers, right? Gossip violates our managerial performance code, which is a manager will not tolerate poor performance or behaviors which are detrimental to team unity, of which gossip is one.
Right. Well, and there, in fact, lies the conundrum we have here, because we know that gossip is inevitable. It's going to happen, and we're not, anything we say today is not going to suggest that we think you can stop it. You can't.
Yeah.
It comes with proximity, and it's reasonable to believe that we won't be able to eliminate it. So we also believe it's unacceptable.
Yeah, so we can't get rid of it, but we also think it's wrong.
Yeah, so what are you to do?
I think our heads just exploded and the show has to stop.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I think that's important. this cast is not about stopping gossip. You're not going to do that. We know when we have seen a bridge too far. That said, you might very well make the case that this is a Career Tools cast done by the Manager Tools organization, and this may very well be our first Leader Tools topic, which is set the example. When it comes to gossip, we recommend, knowing that you can't stop it, but that it is unacceptable in organizations, it's ineffective, it's toxic, it's acidic, we recommend you set the example with your own personal behavior. Whether you're a manager or not, this is a Career Tools cast about what you can do to make your organization more effective. When it comes to gossip, that means setting the example.
Right. I love the setting the example is all about behavior. And those of you who know us from Manager Tools, you know we can't get away from behavior. So we're going to talk about four distinct behaviors that you can do to set the example around this kind of behavior, around office gossip.
Right.
But first, though, let's be clear about what gossip is and isn't. What is it?
Yeah. I think it's important. I think a lot of people use gossip as a noun. Gossip is the information. I'm passing on a piece of gossip. And technically, that's in the English language anyway, that's correct. But in our vernacular, gossip is the communicating. That's a behavior now. Gossip is the communicating of other people's personal information, and it's intended for personal consumption as opposed to organizational performance. That's probably a little overwrought. Gossip is not information regarding job performance or professional competence. The fact that potentially all personal information could have professional implications doesn't make a comment about someone else's personal life or something someone said to irritate someone else doesn't make those comments professional in nature. And I think the key point here is gossip is not the information, it's the communicating of the information. I'm not gossiping if I know something personal, but I don't share it. Okay, that's important. It's, in fact, maybe throughout the cast, we can talk about gossiping, or when you hear the word gossip, think gossiping rather than gossip, and that will help you distinguish the noun from the verb. Not that this is a Grammar Girl show. Those of you who are veterans of our show know this. The beauty of this is that we have defined it as behavior, and we have some things to say about behavior.
Another way to say it, and a way to look at yourself and determine whether you're gossiping or not, because if you're talking behind somebody's back to someone else who doesn't need to know the information, and while you're doing so, you find yourself lowering your voice, you're gossiping.
What's Justice Potter Stewart said? The American, I think I've said this before on air, is, you know, what's the definition of pornography? Well, I don't know if I can define it, but I sure know it when I see it. And I don't think there's anybody out there who's listening who says, oh, I don't know when I'm gossiping. I think you do know. And I think we could torture ourselves coming up with the exact right words, and I just tried to. Or you could say, if you're lowering your voice and you're talking behind somebody's back, or you wouldn't say it if they were standing next to you, then I think you're pretty close to hitting the target.
Yep. And we'd say it's unprofessional and stop it.
Stop it. Right. Exactly.
Okay. So now, what are the four behavioral things we're going to talk about to stop it? How do we stop it?
Yeah, there are four different scenarios we want to lay out. Not scenarios, but just situations, and they are these. And number one is if you're in a social situation or if you're face-to-face, we recommend you simply say, would you excuse me? Number two, do not respond to electronic gossip. Number three, when you're pressed, say, no offense, but I'm not interested in that sort of stuff. And number four, you need not say stop to people unless you're a manager and you have a problem with a direct who's gossiping, and that's a different problem.
Good. Okay. So let's take the first one. When would be an appropriate time to simply say, would you excuse me?
Yeah, you know, and I'm just going to try to mute a little bit of folks' concerns. And boy, that sounds a little bit formal or whatever. We think a little bit more formality at work would actually be good. We think you can actually be quite formal in jeans and flip-flops, frankly. You can be respectful and professional and so on. And a little bit of correct or more correct grammar would help. But to answer your question, if you're in a meeting or you're standing around outside your cube or outside your office, and someone begins to gossip, that is, they communicate personal information in a way that, you know, they wouldn't do it in front of the other person, we recommend that you excuse yourself. And the way you do that is you just simply say, would you excuse me, please? You can act as if you've forgotten something. You can act as if you suddenly realize you're late for something. You can step away to make or take a phantom cell phone call. We really like the neutrality of, would you excuse me? But you could just as easily say, I'm so sorry, I've got to take this call. Or, oh my gosh, I forgot about something. That's fine. Okay. I like, would you excuse me? Because you can say it always. That's the phrase that you would say. You don't have to make up the cell phone call. You don't have to say that. You don't have to say the meeting. You don't have to say, oh, I'm late, or oh, I forgot something. You simply say, would you excuse me? And in fact, I would argue that some people, after you've done that 5, 6, or 7 times, if that's the only situation in which you say, would you excuse me? There are some of your smarter folks, smarter associates, they're going to figure it out. And it's totally polite. It's totally professional. People walk away from discussions all the time for all kinds of reasons. In fact, I'm amazed that people want to ask me, I had a situation at a conference recently. A person came up and started at the end of the conference, asked me for some additional advice or a recommendation in the middle of it, held his finger up, answered his cell phone. And then when I started to walk away, he held up his hand like, no, don't go away. So apparently it's okay to stop a conversation in midstream. So.
Okay. And I'm glad we shared this example of behavior first, because you and I both know, because we've asked many managers about it, right, in our consulting, and we know that many of you listening right now are going to be thinking, gosh, that would be really awkward. I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. We often say that it surprises us, even though, of course, we know in our business, surprise isn't a success habit. And yet, you know, we've done it so many times, and managers who were encouraged to try it all come back with the same story, our favorite line. You're not going to believe it. I tried it, what you suggested, and it worked.
Amazing.
It does. This simple, small, polite, unobtrusive behavior works. It gets you away from the gossip.
Yeah, you know, but there's a problem here. Yeah, it gets you away from the gossip, but you haven't put a stop to it.
Yeah.
I mean, are we actually suggesting that people get off their moral high horse and...
Yeah.
And really?
Yeah, we're just talking about behavior here. We have some fundamental moral principles that underpin manager tools and career tools. We believe in dignity and respect. I've said it before at conferences. Look, if you want to be a great manager, it all starts with love. Unfortunately, love is really hard to teach. And so we teach things that are teachable, that are behaviors. We're not trying to stop gossip. We're trying to keep you from receiving gossip and being perceived as open to gossip, so you can't communicate that gossip. And by walking away in these situations, you're either just doing that, in other words, just walking away, or even better, you're doing that, you're walking away, and for those who are perceptive, you're also setting a leader example.
Exactly. Folks, you do not want to be perceived as the gossip police.
Yeah,
that is just
no way.
That is just as damaging as being thought of as somebody who openly and willingly and often engages in gossip.
Yep.
You want to avoid the first and ensure you don't have the latter. You simply want to be perceived as somebody unwilling to participate in gossip.
Yeah, I would even say if you're in a good mood and someone says, oh, walking away from God, whatever, say, no, sorry, you guys go ahead. You know, in fact, that's, you know, that stuff just doesn't interest me, right? We'll talk about that in a second. Look, you don't have to make a point that it's the gossip that's starting up at that moment that is causing you to walk out. In fact, in general, we urge you not to make a point about the gossip. We've already conceded that as terrible as gossip is, there's ample evidence that it's going to continue to flourish in the workplace, no matter how perfectly you work to persuade other people to stop. You know, some people are going to get it, and that's the great thing about examples. And many examples are often unobtrusive, which is great. But to those to whom they speak, your very quietness about your behavior says more, frankly, than you talking about it.
And we're also willing to admit that there's going to be some folks who will notice. And they're going to be a little miffed at you, thinking perhaps that you're turning your nose up, however elegantly you may do it, at their behavior. And over time, after some carping, they're going to stop gossiping to you.
Little bonus there for you, right?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah.
These people suddenly look down at you. Oh, he's better than me. He's not gossiping. I'm not going to gossip to him anymore. Oh, okay. How is that a problem for me?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. So that's a way to respond around the proverbial water cooler. What about, and it just floors me that folks engage in gossip on email, but they do. So what about email or Twitter or IM or whatever?
Do you mean, are you telling me that you are surprised that email as a communication medium is essentially a chance for us to communicate the way we normally do, only worse because it tends to be anonymous? We're not face to face, and we feel like we can get away with doing more that we wouldn't do in public. Is that what you're saying?
I would never say that. Because that is so blindingly obvious why I even say it.
Look, we said just a second ago that excusing yourself was a great way to keep from receiving gossip. The problem with email and text messages and SMS and Twitter, they all allow other people to send us information that we can't avoid receiving, unless everyone here has figured out how to avoid receiving all of those things. Most people I know are looking for more ways to receive them and then need to learn how to behave around what they've received. But look, as I alluded to just a second ago with the joke, if it's a communication medium, it's going to carry gossip, right? It's not the medium, it's the behavior. It's the communicators that are the problem. When I'm playing golf, when I miss a putt, I often say, it's not the putter pointing at the equipment, it's the putter pointing at me. And when people change putters every 6 months, I'm like, dude, that is not the problem. It's your hands. It's not that thing in your hands. Like I said, if it's a communication medium, it's going to carry gossip. Maybe, in fact, Drucker was wrong. Maybe the quote should have been, the only things that evolve by themselves in an organization are disorder, friction, malperformance, and gossip.
Did you just say Drucker was wrong?
Okay.
Wow.
I don't suppose, I'm sure it's funny, and so we'll leave it into the cast, but that I am very sorry that I have just now said that Peter Drucker might have been wrong.
I've never heard that before.
Rule number one is Drucker's never wrong. Rule number two, if Mark argues with it, refer to rule number one.
Exactly.
Look, gossip is going to happen, and thanks to electrons and transistors, it's going to happen to us. And all we need to do is ignore it. When we get it, pretend we didn't. If you get an email with gossip and other stuff in it, ignore the gossip. If you get an email with only gossip in it, ignore it completely. If you're asked about it, I love this when people say, hey, did you get my email? That's an easy question. The answer is always, yeah, I got it. And just leave it at that. Don't reply, don't reply, don't reply to gossip. Receiving something is completely different than responding. You don't need to tell somebody, don't send that to me anymore. Although I certainly think when it comes to email, if you're a professional, you've got to be cautious. If you've got somebody sending you email that is salacious and perhaps it's no longer gossip, but is less than professional, you ought to tell them to stop. Look, if somebody asks you face-to-face later about your somewhat abrupt silence about an exchange of emails that suddenly switched to gossip, etiquette does not eliminate the possibility that we would tell a small social lie in order to avoid having to morally browbeat somebody for their egregious behavior. And so you simply say, I'm sorry, I just got busy with something else. Yes, it may not be true, but it is completely acceptable. It's not considered an ethical violation to say someone else is doing something inappropriate. I don't feel the need to police them. And so I'm going to simply sidestep their question because I don't want to get my hands dirty talking about something that I ought not to be talking about anyway. If somebody asks you whether you had heard their story, you just say no. And this is, again, one of those situations where we've tested it. We've told executives, managers, hey, here's what you do. You just say no. Hey, have you heard that? Nope, didn't.
Right. Now, I'm a little cautious about covering this next point because folks will think condition number three that we're going to talk about is the rule versus the exception. And it is truly the exception.
Right.
But occasionally, 5% of the time or 2% of the time, something like that, somebody is just going to continue to press you Did you hear? And they're gonna start asking you, why aren't you engaging in this gossip? What do you do then?
Yeah, it's gonna happen. You're gonna be put on the spot about your aversion, your avoidance of gossip. There are people who are listening right now and says, wait, you know, I hear what you're saying. That sounds all nice, a little high horsey kind of stuff, but whatever. People are going to notice. They're going to point me out. They're going to ask me why I'm not joining in the little bits of tawdriness that everybody suddenly makes people feel cool or in the know. If you keep in mind that we're not trying to eradicate gossip because we're human, if you keep in mind that we're just avoiding it and we're not asking others to stop directly, but we're basically relying on the power of our example and to give them room to model their behavior on ours, we're not going to make a big overt deal about other people's gossiping behaviors. And remember, that's what gossip is. Gossiping is behavior. When you're finally cornered, just say, no offense, but I'm just not interested in that sort of stuff, and leave it at that. If somebody presses you further because they're a bore and they say, well, I can't believe that. Everybody likes gossip. You say, well, sorry, missed that gene. Not important to me. And look, if you're in a bad mood and you want to make a point with someone who probably won't get it anyway, that's the key. Remember, they're not going to get it anyway. But if you feel compelled to open your mouth further, and even though our guidance is don't try it, we suggest a line like, hey, I hear stuff about you and I ignore it. It's not the information, it's the spreading of it I don't like. That's all. And I have a story here. I have to share this story. When I got fired a number of years ago, 15 years ago or whatever, I had about a week off before I started my new company, and I was standing in line at the bakery in our little town, and there were two people in front of me, and they were gossiping about me. The lady at the front of the line at the bakery, I wanted a donut and some coffee. The lady in the front of the line had turned to the lady directly in front of me and had made a comment. Hey, did you hear that guy who works out at this company got fired all of a sudden? And it was a very small town, so I knew they were talking about me, and it was amusing. And the lady in front of me didn't know that I was behind her, and the lady who was talking didn't know she was talking about me and didn't know me from Adam. And the lady in front of me worked with me at the company.
Oh.
So she knew me quite well. And the lady in front of her said, oh, you know, I wonder what happened. I wonder, you know, some scandal story or whatever. And the lady in front of me was sort of she didn't know what to do or what to say, but she didn't defend me. She was quite frankly scared of the bosses who had given them very specific instructions not to talk about me for whatever reason. And the conversation went on for about 20 seconds. Well, yeah, I don't know, but it must have been bad or whatever. Finally, I leaned forward and I said to them, excuse me, ladies, you're talking about me, and it's not true. And what was great about it at the time was, this is Mike Penix Baker, a guy here in town, and both of them were so embarrassed that they had been caught gossiping in front of the object of the gossip, they both left. The person in front of me was mortified, and she left because she felt like she should have defended me, and she hadn't, and I had been a good friend to her. And the person at the front was so flabbergasted, she left without her stuff. And wow. I walked up to the front of the line and said, hey, I need a donut and coffee. I'm like, wow, that was good. I said, yeah, if you get gossiped about, maybe you get to go to the front of the line.
There's a lesson there, right? Which is people who gossip know they shouldn't be gossiping.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, they're embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah, and, exactly. And part of when they corner you, part of that is because they inherently understand that what they're doing isn't professional and it's not helpful.
Yep.
And they know it's a guilty pleasure. They're trying to corner you because your aversion points out that guilty part that they feel. Whereas if you would gossip like they do, that, you know, that would be pleasure part for them.
If you did it the way they did it, then that would make them feel more pleasurable because it would make them not think about the guilty part.
Yeah, absolutely. So just don't give them the satisfaction.
Yeah.
Set an example of what professional behavior is all about.
There you go. Yeah. And then I do think the fourth point we need to cover, you know, we said don't stop. You don't need to tell people to stop unless it's a problem with a direct. And this is, you know, we know, as I said earlier, managers have careers and this is career tools. And yet for those of you who are managers, it's one thing to walk away from gossip unless we're talking about one of your directs. That's the caveat. If you're a boss and your direct is gossiping, it is absolutely, positively a time to deliver behavioral feedback to your team member. Period. Nothing in this cast should be construed as a manager looking the other way, setting an example quietly without giving behavioral feedback, negative feedback, to one of your directs who's engaged in gossip. Nothing. Our recommendation is specific and direct. When you hear gossip from one of your directs, or you hear one of your directs talking to another direct and it's gossip, you owe them some feedback. And look, I'll just make it really simple. Here's an example. Hey, Jenny, can I give you some feedback? And she says, sure. When you tell Kathy and Diane about someone else's problems with their boyfriend, and you do so with that kind of joy rather than sympathy that I heard in your voice, here's what happens. You tear down our team. It's gossip, and gossip tears down the team. And I won't stand for it. Can you handle that kind of information differently in the future? And you get a very quiet, squeaky, yes. And you say, great, thanks. And you're done. And yeah, you know what? Jenny is going to continue to gossip, but she will do it less often. She'll know it's wrong. She'll know you think it's wrong. And you will have laid down a marker against future such instances. And it only took you 15 seconds.
Yeah. Simple and powerful. We're going to do some more casts. I think they're kind of more leader-like tools in the future. And I think this is one of those that kind of comes close to that. So thanks.
Yep.
All right, my friend.
Take care, buddy.
We'll see you. Bye. Well, folks, that's it for this week. If you got value out of that and you'd like to show some kind of appreciation, well, the best appreciation you can show us is to share career tools with friends of yours. Let them know we're here and explain all the complexities of podcasting to them. Good luck there. All right, folks. Thanks, and we'll see you all again next week. So long.